was announced. Today we look on the third part of a series of lessons that we have been on. Dealing with the subject of veiling and covering. Veiling and covering. The lesson was meant to be a prelude, an introduction to a series of lessons that will be undertaken in our Wednesday night Bible study. In today's lesson, the emphasis will be the passage of Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 and 52, and Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. Many other passages will be brought to bear on the lesson, but the truth and the significance of those two, or rather the lesson in those two passages, in the passage of Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50 and 51, in verse 50 we are told that Jesus Christ gave up the ghost, which means he died. That is verse 50, Matthew 27. Then in verse 51, watch here. We are told that the very time, that's the idea here, that Christ breath leave his body, the veil of the temple, notice too, that veil was a long piece of fabric stretching way up, way down. It was through that veil that when the high priest once a year parted it, he was allowed to go into the holiest of holy. Everything about that, how he went, when he went, that was not left up to the priest's imagination. Everything was dictated by God. But now here is a miracle. The miracle is that the very time Jesus Christ gave up the ghost, died, the veil, the fabric, miraculously split in two. That's what happened. That's what, when you read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, and when it ties the giving up the ghost and the splitting or rending of the veil, in fact, a lot of miracles take place. Then he had told people about people raised from the dead. And that is the effect of Jesus' death. And what all of that meant for heaven and for us. I'm taking a chance here. Let me bring you into a secret. My whole plan and purpose today is to deal with 4 to 6, 7, 8 symbolic importance of the veil. But there are a few things I feel that I need to share for our benefit before I reach to that. My problem is I don't plan to come back to this lesson for the next many months or years. And I really want to share with you the symbolic importance of the veil. But these are the things leading up to that part of the lesson. I feel it's important for our understanding and growth. You remember that the two previous lessons, we look on things like the symbolic importance, or rather the importance of symbolism. Eh? And the lesson in the Old Testament, veiling and covering, pointing to New Testament truth and realities. We look on that. Today's lesson, as I said, examine the importance or the important truth and lesson of Hebrews chapter 10:19-20, how Jesus Christ's body, all life, all blood, metaphorically, is the veil of the temple that was just rent in two. Let us hear Hebrews again.
Verse 19.
10:19-22.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way.
Wait. Notice with me. The word therefore in the passage. Is introducing a brief summary of all that the Hebrew writer has been saying way back from chapter 4 or 5. When the writer touched on the priesthood of Melchizedek way back in the first part of Hebrews. And then he cut off from that subject to illustrate something and then got back on it. And when he got back on it, when we touched chapter 9, he was giving us some detail about the Levitical priesthood. And it's not so much the Levitical priesthood, but the importance in man's salvation, because those sheep, the victim which the sheep represent, was Christ, and the priest point to Christ, and all of this. So when he reached now chapter 10 and verse 19, he is giving us a brief summary. Hence the therefore. It's like he's saying, of all that I have been saying about how God planned man's salvation, man's forgiveness, man's eternal peace, putting in place these Old Testament types to point to the New Testament antitype. He said, this is the summary. Therefore, brethren,
boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of
Therefore
Jesus.
Therefore, what?
Having therefore, brethren, Boldness to enter into the holiest.
How does this relate to? The fact is, that's what he's showing them. Over the many centuries, God had been hidden from man. Man could not get to God. Our sin separated us from God. And that's what part of what the veil represents. Concealment. So when he said now, he's showing them how the body of Christ, the life of Christ, given on Calvary, is that is, as I've said, it is a metaphor. It is where something else is used to point to Christ's body, and that something else is the veil. When Jesus Christ's body was broken, it represents the splitting of the veil. And therefore, God was no more hidden. Distance. God was no more so far from man that man couldn't get to him. Jesus Christ bring God within man's grips, where we could know him, understand him, be with him. Should I point out here, I may say more about it. It talks about, brother, read it, let them hear that I'm not making up the new and living way. I think it's somewhere there. Let us hear it.
Verse 20. By a new and living way.
Yes, brother, it is new because before Jesus Christ, the way to God was hidden. The veil represents that. The Israelites, for the 1400 years of their existence, every year the priests, would part and go. They did no way, Maduronde. That they couldn't. Not even the subordinate priest could go around there. Only the high priest. That concealment meant God was hidden from them. And that was because of man's sin. That's right. So he said, therefore we have what, brother? Boldness to do what?
Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Boldness. Where did he talk about the new and living?
Verse 20, by a new and living way.
Why is it new?
Which he
it was just inaugurated by Jesus Christ. It didn't exist before Jesus Christ. Men and women couldn't get to God before Jesus Christ. That's why it wasn't. Why was it living? Because our living Savior Jesus Christ is the way. Have you read that in St. John chapter 14 and verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So here the word therefore introduced a brief summary of the entire system of the tabernacle, the priesthood, and the veiling. The inspired writer in this text calls our attention to the great, to the matchless, don't move from the passage, brother, and the awesome privileges to which the true children of God is called. That's why I talk about therefore having boldness. All that word boldness, it's used with a specific thought in mind. You see, under the Old Testament, the high priest couldn't enter here with any boldness. It was just trembling and timidity, because at any time he made a mistake, he could die. The ordinary Israelite couldn't even think that one day I'm going to peep around here, because they know they would die. But we, Christian, not only that, but the high priest could go only once a year, and only on some strict condition. We, anytime we want to go to God's throne of grace, to the mercy seat, if we are Christian, we can go. Anytime at night, anytime at day. If you are traveling and just want to stop right there and pray to God, we have ready access to the throne of grace. To talk to the great God. That is the privilege of the children of God, the Christian. Wait. I need to emphasize that it's not the privilege of every person. I'm coming up with something to show you that it's not the privilege of every man and every woman. Boldness to enter the holiest of holy. Lord have mercy. And because of this, what he said in verse, you stop at 20?
Yes.
Read 21.
And having an high priest over the house of God.
You see, talk about New Testament. You know what that is? The church. The church of Christ is the house of God. And he said, we have an high priest over the house of God. Every true Christian. Wait. I didn't say every church member. Every true Christian is a priest.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we are priests. If we are part of Christ's church, and having an high priest over the house of God,
let us draw near.
Wait. You get the drift here? What the inspired writer is saying with this awesome, with this matchless privilege we now have to access the Almighty God, to go to the throne of grace, to get to God 1,000 times for the day, 1,000,000 times for the day. Yes. He said it is so awesome. He's saying utilize it. And this is now calling us to worship. When he said, let us do what, brother?
Let us draw near.
The book of Hebrew is known for the word, the phrase, let us. No other book in the Bible uses this phrase, let us, as the book of Hebrew. And he's saying, with this great privilege, let us utilize it. But I worship him, I call us to, you know. Let us draw
near.
Did you know that every act of worship is a drawing near to God? Pray is a drawing near to God. Singing is a drawing near to God. Studying God's word in sincerity is a drawing near to God. Communing is a drawing near to God. Giving of all material means is a drawing near to God. They said, let us
draw near,
uh-huh,
with a true heart,
uh-huh,
in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience.
You see sprinkling coming here? This is not talking about baptism. That's right. Baptism was never sprinkling. In fact, let us move on, because so much to cover. So let us, ladies and gentlemen, As I said, the inspired writer in our text called our attention to the great, the matchless, and the awesome privileges to which the true children of God is called. Boldness to enter by a new and living way. And I preach over the church, which is the house of God. He challenged us to service and worship. That is from verse 22. You'll notice that in verse 25, he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself. Can that be worded another way, Brother Mitchell? Yes. Don't stay away. Don't stay a yard when Christians gather to worship God. It is a command. Read verse 25. You'll notice it is a command.
Not
worded in the negative.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Stop there. It is a command. Don't do this. Don't stay a yard when the church assembly together to worship. It is a command. But all of that, you know, spring from the great opportunity and privilege that we now have in Jesus Christ. Access to God is now available to God's people. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as some then were doing. Don't take bad example. Did you know that every time you arrive absent from church, we are setting bad example?